I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. With so much mayhem around the globe these days, it's hard to know where to look first. But right now, we're going to turn our gaze to Ukraine. The country has been a tinderbox since Moscow annexed a part of Ukrainian territory in March. Now, NATO may be edging closer to full-fledged war with Russia. Ivo Dalder, the former U.S. ambassador to NATO, sees a grim scenario ahead.
It's the most serious crisis since the end of the Cold War. Now we have to think about security, not just in economic and political terms, but in military terms. And that is something an entire generation of Europeans has never experienced.
Europeans won't be the only ones watching closely this week when NATO leaders meet in Wales. The NATO brass are expected to endorse a rapid reaction force that could send some 4,000 troops to Eastern Europe on 48 hours' notice. Dalder says that will catch the attention of Russian President Vladimir Putin.
The real message here to Moscow is whatever you may be doing in Ukraine, don't even think about what is possible for doing in the Baltic states or Poland or Romania. They are NATO members. They are members who have had the security commitment of the United States, of every other NATO country to defend them. To see an attack on them is an attack on ourselves. And this force is just one part of a much larger readiness package designed to both reassure the European allies in the East and, importantly, deter and send a real message to Vladimir Putin in the West that when it comes to NATO and the defense of NATO territory, there is no question but that that defense will happen and anybody who tries to challenge it will pay a dear, dear price.
What else is in that package that may be even more forceful than a rapid reaction force, or is that the biggest muscle?
It's the biggest muscle in the first 48 hours, but the Brits will announce a larger force of about 14,000 troops consisting not only of UK, but also Dutch and Danish and Norwegian and perhaps Canadian forces to provide for reinforcement. The United States has committed to exercising and reinforcing on a rotating basis forces from the United States into Europe in order to demonstrate the capacity to provide defense of all of NATO territory. There will be expenditures on infrastructure so that air bases can be able to have large numbers of aircraft come in, ports can have large numbers of ships providing troops and equipment. All of that is designed to provide a real capable defense of all of NATO territory.
Yeah, that's a lot more than those 4,000 rapid reaction force troops. One could argue that putting together all of these forces, that could escalate tensions even further.
One could argue that, but what is happening here is that the first move and the second move and the third move have all come from Moscow. It is Moscow that annexed a part of Ukrainian territory in March in terms of the Crimea. It is Moscow that has instigated and supported the separatist forces in eastern Ukraine, and it is now Moscow that has invaded, because that's the only word you can use, with troops, tanks, and armored personnel carriers and artillery, a neighboring state. Under those conditions, it is necessary, it is indeed imperative, that the NATO countries, at the very least, sent the message that whatever you have in mind, don't even think about coming to NATO territory.
Putin might be in a situation where he can't step back without losing face. Is that a concern?
It is a concern in the sense that what we want is the reestablishment of the status quo ante. And it is in his power to do that because he's the one who's upset the status quo. We all want a negotiated and political solution, but that won't happen until three conditions are met. Russia stops its support of separatist forces, both in terms of sending people and material over the border, that Russia withdraw all its military forces that are now inside Ukraine back into Russia, and Russia recognizes the territorial independence of Ukraine, which is actually pretty fundamental to the security order that we see. But until that happens, until the invasion is ended, until the overt and covert support to separatist forces is ended, there really isn't a hell of a lot to talk about.
Why is Vladimir Putin being so openly confrontational right now? Is he picking a fight with NATO, do you think?
I think he is trying to demonstrate that he is the big guy in town. That he is the one who can control the future of Ukraine. He was surprised, frankly, when the Ukrainian people took matters in their own hands, when they for months protested in Kiev against the decision by their president to reject a trade agreement with the European Union and instead to put his fate in Russia's hands. He was surprised that President Yanukovych stood down in February and has been surprised ever since. So he is now trying to reestablish control of Russia over Ukraine's fate.
So what would you say, if you had to sum it up, what is Vladimir Putin's worldview? I mean, do you think he ever had any intention of being a NATO ally?
No, I don't. I think Vladimir Putin's worldview is a zero-sum worldview. I think he said it himself best back in the middle of the last decade, in 2005, when he said that the greatest geostrategic catastrophe of the 20th century was the breakup of the Soviet Union. And I think he's dedicated to reestablishing, if not de jure, the Soviet Union, de facto, the control of Russia over its immediate neighbors.
Do you think Putin is looking at a White House dealing with multiple foreign policy crises, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Gaza, and just thinking, they're distracted, I can get away with this?
I think Putin is looking at the world and says, my interest in controlling Ukraine is larger than the European or indeed the American interest in preventing that from happening. I think he's miscalculating. He will see that that may be true when it comes to the use of military force. It is true that the United States and the European allies aren't willing to defend Ukraine directly with their own troops, but they are willing to isolate Russia politically and to place ever-increasing sanctions on it economically.
I mean, the military option just seems more and more present right now. I'm curious, though, as far as diplomatic options, what's your own experience dealing with Russian officials? And are we also facing just plain old complex practical diplomacy on the ground?
What we're seeing now, which I think we haven't seen for some time, is blatant lying, which makes diplomacy very difficult. When the person sitting across of you is telling things that you know to be true and that you know that he knows not to be true, then the basis for negotiations, the basis for trust is removed. The idea that Russia continues even to this day to deny that Russian troops are in Ukraine is risible. We have all the evidence necessary. NATO has released evidence directly of the fact that Russian troops and Russian equipment are in Ukraine. And under those circumstances, conducting diplomacy, which in the end has to be based on some form of trust, is not only difficult, it is impossible.
Ambassador Dalder, I have to say you sound a little rattled by all of this. How bad are things?
I'm not rattled, but I think we need to be very realistic. I don't think this is just a crisis that through negotiations we can resolve. I think this is a fundamental challenge to the European security order that we haven't seen in a quarter century. And that's why I think the NATO summit this week is such a defining moment. It's a time for NATO to step up and say, we are here to defend that not only the territory of NATO, but that very security order that Putin is now challenging. It will require not an immediate solution, but a long-term strategy that makes the costs to Russia so high that a change in policy becomes inevitable.
Ivo Dalder, former U.S. ambassador to NATO, now head at the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.